Chapter 26. Reggie was waiting at the bakery by the time Shaw got there. They ordered and ate their pastries and drank their fresh coffee outside on bistro chairs. Reggie's hair was swept up under a Red Sox baseball cap. She had on jean shorts, a pale blue t-shirt, and Saucony running shoes. Shaw was dressed in slacks, loafers, and a white long-sleeved shirt. Reggie sipped her coffee, ran an eye over him, and said playfully, "You dress like a lobbyist, even in Provence." Shaw smiled and eased back on the little chair. Behind them, a workman was washing down the streets using a fire hose. The rush of water would follow the laws of gravity and work its way over the cobblestone streets, down worn stone steps, and eventually snake down the cliffs in diminished rivulets. "Old habits die hard." He took a bite of croissant. "But I left the ties and jackets in the closet." "Where are you staying? I think it's only fair since you know where I am." He hooked a finger over his head. "Hotel and spa down that way. It's nice. I'm thinking about getting a massage later today." He drank his coffee, wadded up the paper his pastry had come in, and tossed it in a nearby trash can. "Those guys still around?" "The Citroën was there this morning, but only one man was inside. Whether they stayed there all night, I don't know. It does seem sort of mysterious," she added innocently. "How's your back where I threw you?" "Fine. How's your left kidney?" "Not that great, actually. That's why I'm thinking about the massage. Next time, remember to phone before you scale my wall." "Funny, these villas are usually rented out fully during the summer, but the one next to yours has been empty since I got here." She forced a smile. "You're a nosy one. Are you obsessing about villas now?" "You were nosy enough yourself," he thought. He said, "No, just curious. I was thinking about renting one, but it was way too much money for me." "I thought all lobbyists were rich." "Except for the divorce, I'd be a wealthy man. Now I'm still well off, but just by half." "I doubt I'll ever get married." "Why's that? Not intending to sound crass, but you'd be quite a catch for some young guy."
"Why young?"
"Well, you're young. Most people marry folks close to their own age."
"How old are you?"
she asked, smiling. "Too old for you."
"You're flattering and disparaging yourself at the same time. I'm impressed."
"It's a talent I've burnished over the years. I hope you have your gun in a safe place. The cleaning help around here comes across it. You'll have some questions to answer from the local cops."
"It's in a very safe place. Thank you for your concern."
"So, dinner tomorrow night?"
"I can't do it tomorrow night. How about the next?"
"Okay, here in town?"
"No, there's a village nearby with a little restaurant that overlooks the valley. Do you kayak?"
He looked surprised by the sudden change in topics. "I've done it. Why?"
"I have a spot reserved today with a kayak company in Fontaine du Vaucluse. I hear the river there is really beautiful. I was wondering if you'd care to join me."
"We'd have to leave in about an hour."
Shaw finished his coffee, thinking quickly.
"Okay, I'll just have to change into something more appropriate."
"A bathing suit would be fine."
"Well, my goal is to stay in the boat. Even in summer, I bet that water is cold."
"You never know. You have to be prepared for the unexpected."
As they parted company, Shaw watched her walk down the street. When he saw the man coming toward him, he ducked down an alley. It was the thug he'd seen last night spying on Janie. Whether he was following Janie or not, Shaw couldn't be sure. He had yet to make up his mind about the lady, and that bothered him. Despite a well-crafted plan, he had no idea how things would play out. He could sense his rear flank was exposed, and he wasn't sure what to do about it. For now, apparently, he was going to go kayaking, and he meant to heed the woman's advice and be prepared for the unexpected.